This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Republicans hint at adjustments. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, March 15, thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A number of Republican senators want changes to a House bill designed to replace Obamacare and say it won't pass without amendments. The White House is open to changes.
A leaked tax return from 2005 shows President Trump paid tens of millions in taxes. His critics were hoping for a damaging story.
Was it a miss for forecasters or did Mother Nature underperform? New England is digging out from deep snow, but other areas got far less than predicted.
And the sure things to do with your tax refund.
Well, whenever you get a nice windfall like this in terms of your tax refund, you really it's important that you have a plan for that money because it's very tempting to just take it and spend it. But there's a lot of good that money could do for your finances if you really sit and think about, you know, what are the best ways to potentially use that.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com has three smart ways to spend your refund in about 20 minutes. Well, a leaked tax return shows President Trump reported about $153 million in income in 2005 and paid $38 million in federal taxes. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The returns were obtained by DCReport.org and revealed on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show yesterday. The report didn't specify his sources of income, investments, and financial ties. Mr. Trump paid most of his taxes because of the alternative minimum tax, a system designed to make sure that rich people can't use legal deductions and credits to avoid all income taxes. The reveal of the documents on the show took so long that the White House released the document before Ms. Maddow did, a preemptive strike. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Part of the reason for the delayed release is that there's no story from this particular tax return. Even members of the media began to mock MSNBC's approach on Twitter. Brad Dayspring at Politico said, quote, Maddow's burying of the lead has actually become a bigger story than the scoop itself. Peak absurdity, he said. Emily Jashinsky at the Washington Examiner tweeted, without any self-awareness, Rachel Maddow holds up two pages and shrugs, this is all we've got. 9 minutes after the hour. At least a dozen Republican senators are making clear they have serious concerns about a bill designed to replace Obamacare, especially after a report by the Congressional Budget Office showing millions would lose insurance by the end of next year. GOP senators said they would push for changes like more assistance for older and low-income people to buy health insurance. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer says the administration will work with GOP leaders to make changes.
The CBO concedes that the American Health Care Act would actually reduce the deficit by over $330 billion and bring health insurance premiums down 10%, even before many of the significant reforms in prongs 2 and 3 have taken effect.
The CBO estimates the proposal would reduce deficits but increase the number of people without insurance by 24 million. In 2026, here's Texas Senator John Cornyn.
Given the freedom to make a decision that is consistent with your own economic interests, and you may decide not to buy it.
Losing more than two Republican senators, by the way, would kill the legislation, presuming all Democratic senators voted no. A late winter storm shut schools, canceled thousands of flights, and led officials to declare states of emergency in the Northeast. But rain and sleet sharply undermined the snowfall amounts that experts were predicting. Weather forecasters revised predictions for New York City and Philadelphia to between 4 and 6 inches of snow, while an intense storm blanketed parts of Greater Boston with nearly 10 inches and dropped 16 inches in central Massachusetts. Some used the opportunity to go surfing in New York's Long Island.
I just spent the last 6 weeks traveling to California, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and now I come back to New York and get the best waves of the entire winter.
That's good living. Yesterday's nor'easter formed after merging with a deadly winter system that combed the Midwest, however. In Milwaukee, four men died Monday in separate incidents cleaning up from the storm. according to Milwaukee County officials. Yesterday in Vermont, which was expecting a minimum of 18 inches in most areas, drivers heading home from work faced whiteout conditions and multiple cars slid off the road and were abandoned by owners seeking safety. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Hey, it's never too early to talk about wine, right? Specifically, Cameron Hughes wine. I've been a fan for some time now, and the price and quality can't be matched. You see, Cameron has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all over the world, where he sources his wines, then sells directly to us for much less than what we'd pay under the usual labels. It's how he's able to offer luxury wines at an affordable price, and Cam guarantees all his wines. If you're not happy with any of them, you send the bottle right back. He'll fix it. Right now, he's got an exclusive offer for our listeners, too. Free shipping on your order and a free sommelier-grade corkscrew. It's a great deal to try wines that are already up to 50% off at Cameron Hughes Wine. Free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew at chwine.com. That's chwine.com. Then enter my code DEAL. It's a limited-time offer. It won't last. Again, chwine.com and enter the code DEAL. chwine.com and code DEAL. Glad you're with us. Good Wednesday to you. Police overtime is coming under scrutiny as cities' costs rise and understaffed departments demand more from their officers, especially in places like Baltimore and Chicago that are battling near-record homicide rates. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. Scott, set this up.
Police overtime has long been an issue, but there are a number of cities that are really grappling with it right now. I'll give you a couple of examples. San Jose, California, the overtime costs more than tripled over a recent seven-year period. And in Baltimore, just since 2013, the overtime costs to the department rose by 88%, to the point where the overtime costs account for about 10% of the entire police department budget. Chicago is another city that's really been relying on overtime quite a bit. So it's a number of cities that are really struggling with these rising costs.
And what's happening here? Is this tied to the spike in crime? Is it protests, demonstrations? What's going on?
Partly. I mean, it's basic math. You know, there aren't enough officers for the police presence that the department wants, and so you've got to work the existing officers you have that much more. And so some departments have seen attrition, so they've lost officers. Baltimore is an example of that. So they actually have fewer police officers than they did. San Jose had the same thing, a lot of attrition and difficulty recruiting new officers to replace them. And then on top of that, as you suggested, there are reasons why there's been a need for greater police presence. You know, go back to Baltimore. There were riots in 2015. There were trials of four of the police officers who were charged in the Freddie Gray incident that required extra police presence. There was also they switched from a five-day-a-week schedule for police officers to having them work four 10-hour shifts, and that apparently also contributed to the overtime problem in Baltimore.
Wow. Is it cheaper just to hire more?
Well, you know, to some extent, depending on how the math shakes out, it can actually be cheaper to pay overtime, because obviously when you pay overtime, what you're not paying are the benefits of hiring a new officer, and those benefits, and you know, pension benefits and healthcare benefits and all sorts of things like that can add up quickly. So there is some logic to the idea that even though you're paying these officers time and a half, it's perhaps cheaper on some level.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. His piece is called "Rising Police Overtime Bill in Several Cities Comes Under Scrutiny." He points out especially San Jose, Baltimore, and Chicago. Some cops welcome this, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, if you can make time and a half, you can really increase your overall pay. And we've seen that. So, in Baltimore, you've got 45 police officers in fiscal year 2016 more than doubled their pay by working overtime.
Wow.
And so, for example, there was one officer who whose salary was about $81,000, and he wound up grossing $202,000, I believe it was, based on really pulling lots and lots of overtime. And so, sure, there is definitely an upside. You know, there's downside, of course, is that these officers who work that much overtime are really overworked, and there's concerns about fatigue. And there was a city councilman in Boston who I spoke to where overtime has also been an issue. And he said he's worried. You know, he said all that work takes a real toll on the psyches of these officers because, unlike other professions, you know, every time they're out there, it's a high risk situation.
Yeah. Why is for cities who are trying to do it, why is it so hard to fill positions, say that they don't want to lose by attrition?
Well, I think it's a variety of reasons. I mean, one can be the salaries are maybe not as high as they should be, and so they have trouble drawing recruits based on that. There also have been budget issues. You know, and in Baltimore, they haven't had the money or as much money as they would like, and the mayor, Catherine Pugh, actually unfroze funding to hire 100 officers. So the hope is that will help alleviate this somewhat.
Wow. Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the White House says President Trump paid $38 million in taxes on more than $150 million in income in 2005, responding to an MSNBC report that the network had obtained two pages of the returns. MSNBC host Rachel Maddow said she received the documents from journalist David K. Johnston, who said he received them in the mail. Trump had repeatedly refused to release his tax returns, drawing criticism throughout his campaign last year and speculation from his political rivals he was hiding something. The top U.S. Marine says he intends to fix the problem that led to current and former Corps members sharing nude photos of female Marines online and making lewd or threatening comments about them. General Robert Neller told the Senate Armed Services Committee that he will hold Marines accountable, but his remarks were met with skepticism from senators like New York Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand.
Who is being held accountable for doing nothing since 2013? Who? Which commander? I am very concerned that this is part of a culture that is resulting in the high levels of sexual assault.
More than two dozen women, including active duty and enlisted service members, had been identified by their rank, full name, and military duty station in photos posted on a private Facebook page. Moving forcefully against Obama-era environmental rules, President Trump is set to announce in Michigan plans to re-examine federal requirements that regulate the fuel efficiency of new cars and trucks. Trump is expected to reveal his plan during an appearance today at the American Center for Mobility in Detroit, where he'll challenge President Obama's strategy to combat global warming. For some in the Northeast, yesterday's blizzard never materialized, but in parts of Pennsylvania, New York, and Massachusetts, they did get clobbered, and more than 200,000 people lost power. This New Jersey man escaped injury when a tree fell on his house.
Sounded like a bomb went off, something blew up.
In Washington, D.C., the National Park Service says the famous cherry trees appear to have escaped snow damage, but there are now major concerns about cold temperatures. The blossoms will be ruined if it's colder than 24 degrees, and the low is expected to be around 22 for the next few nights.
So will many vacations or weekend getaways be ruined?
I'll say.
If this stuff disappears, right?
So unfortunate. Yeah. So late in the season for this to happen.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Good Wednesday to you. Expecting a tax refund from Uncle Sam this year? The easy thing to do would be to recommend a nice getaway vacation. But that's why we have experts like Kelly Grant, certified financial planner and consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's got what she calls three smart ways to handle that IRS refund. Kelly, you going to ruin this for us?
Well, whenever you get a nice windfall like this in terms of your tax refund, it's important that you have a plan for that money because it's very tempting to just take it and spend it. But there's a lot of good that money could do for your finances if you really sit and think about, you know, what are the best ways to potentially use that.
All right. Like what, for example?
Well, first up would, of course, be an emergency fund because we know from survey after survey that most people couldn't put their hands on more than a couple $100 in an emergency situation. So it's a good idea to have a nice cash cushion so that the next time the fridge fails or your car gets a flat tire or you have an unexpected medical bill, that you're not automatically reaching for your credit card. Mm. So if you don't have a good emergency fund, that's kind of key, step one here.
All right, step two.
Beyond that, you want to be thinking about, do you have any high interest debt? That, you know, maybe this is a nice change that you can put forward, you know, zeroing out a credit card balance or knocking down something like your student loans or your mortgage, anything that would really help you get ahead on that front, that can be a great way to use that money.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner, and she's written a piece called Three Smart Ways to Spend Your Tax Refunds. All right, so setting up an emergency fund. Two, paying down that high-interest debt. What's number three?
Thinking about good savings opportunities. Most of us, we're not putting aside enough for retirement or for other goals like a child's college education. This could be a nice opportunity for you to take that money and say, yep, there goes my IRA contribution for the year, or that, you know, this is great money toward my kid's education, or any other goal that you might have, whether that's buying a new home, saving for your wedding, even, you know, a little bit of spending within there if you wanted to go on vacation. This is a nice chunk of change to be able to put some of that toward it.
What percentage of us actually get money back?
Well, you know, refunds are pretty popular. We know the typical refund, you know, varies year to year, but it's usually close to about $3,000.
Yeah.
So there's also, the IRS recently said it's about $1 billion worth of unclaimed refunds from previous years that people have not filed for that they really need to be thinking about. So if you were a student or you didn't have income that was high enough that you weren't required to file a return, so you didn't, you might want to revisit that.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com, also a certified financial planner. Again, the three smart ways that she says you should handle your IRS refund. Number one, set up an emergency fund just in case, right? The brakes go or something like that on the car. Number two, pay down that high interest credit card debt. And number three, boost your retirement or college savings. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
The Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates at the conclusion of its two-day meeting today. What's that mean for our daily lives? We're joined now by Jordan Goodman, finance expert known as America's Money Answers Man. Jordan, what's the feeling?
Well, the Fed's clearly going to raise interest rates on Wednesday by a quarter point. I think they'll raise it at least two and possibly three more times in 2017. They're feeling the economy is strong enough to handle it, and I think they're right. And what's amazing is the stock market's holding up quite well. And I told you a year ago, Gordon, that the stock market was doing very well when the interest Fed was going to raise rates three times. You wouldn't have believed me.
Yeah.
But the environment has completely changed here. And it's kind of a sign of confidence. And so I think the stock market can go up while interest rates keep going up.
Let me ask you this. What's strong about the economy right now?
Well, the unemployment numbers we had were quite good on Friday, 235,000 jobs, more than expected. Unemployment rate down to 4.7. A lot of companies having good earnings right now. And I think even more important is the kind of psychology, or what John Maynard Keynes, the famous economist, used to call the animal spirits, have come back here. So you see consumer confidence at a 15-year high, a business confidence, particularly small business confidence, at a 15-year high. Because people feel, with potential tax cuts coming, with regulations being cut back to some extent, with an infrastructure project, if all the things that Trump talks about in fact happen, things are going to get very positive. So the markets are anticipating it. It hasn't actually happened yet, but the anticipation of it has made people feel a lot better.
Boy, it might makes it almost seem like we might not even notice the rate hike. But when it goes through, then what?
Well, Then, so for people who are borrowing, they're going to pay a quarter point more. The prime rate, which is now 3.75%, is going to go up to 4%. So that means that anything tied to the prime, credit cards, student loans, car loans, all those kind of things are going to go up by a quarter point, and then, again, go up more when rates go up further at the end of this year. But what's not going up, Gordon, is what you're getting paid on deposits. The banks' profit margins are getting wider as they charge more but don't pay more. Hmm. It's kind of unfair, but that's the way it is. So expect to continue to earn zero on CDs, money market funds, savings accounts, for as far as the eye can see. This is why the bank stocks have done so well, is their profit margins are going up for them doing nothing else, just playing along with the Fed here.
Right. We're speaking with Jordan Goodman, finance expert, also known as America's Money Answers Man. And we're talking about what an interest rate hike by the Fed will mean for us personally. When it comes to home buying, might this keep more people off the sideline if they see rates going up?
Mortgage rates have already gone up. I think they'll go up further. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now roughly 4.5%. Before the election, it was about 3.5%. I think it could go to 5% by the end of this year, which on the margin squeezes some people out and means they can't afford homes if the price is higher. On the other hand, it makes some people rush in and say they want to get their house now before rates go up even more. And we're kind of in that phase right now. I mean, we're kind of in the beginning of the spring selling season here in March. I think it's going to be a pretty strong season. In many cases, the problem is supply. There's literally just not enough to buy out there. We're adding about 2 million households in this country every year, but we're only adding about 600,000 or 700,000 new homes. And every year, a certain amount of homes are destroyed, fire, flood, tornadoes, and so on. So we actually have a shortage of housing in many places, particularly certain markets like San Francisco and Austin and Miami and so on. So there's a lot of areas where you have very, very strong housing markets. So even though you might have higher mortgage rates, I don't think it's going to slow down housing prices and sales that much.
Thanks, Jordan. Finance expert Jordan Goodman, known as America's Money Answers Man. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, kids who had a snow day in New York City yesterday must have been rubbing their eyes in disbelief after a pair of escaped ponies were seen romping through the snowy streets. The four-legged fugitives were seen prancing around one of the busiest roads in Staten Island in the midst of winter storm Stella, sending residents scrambling to snap photos and alert police. NYPD Special Ops shared a photo of the two ponies as officers were prepared to return the wayward animals to their owners. The NYPD said during a press conference, yes, this actually came up in a press conference, that an off-duty police officer found the frolicking pair and had a tow strap in his truck. The officer was able to wrangle the ponies together and tie them to a lamppost until authorities arrived.
Wow.
So I always love the photos that come out of those incidents where, you know, you got the cop car there with the lights on,
yes,
right, and the two ponies standing in front of it like they're being arrested or they're being, you know, right, interrogated or something.
Right, is the cop over the loudspeaker. Pull over.
Right.
Cease moving
right
now.
Right, right. And you know, and no one said exactly how they escaped. Maybe the snow had something to do with it. But this is, again, one of the busiest roads in all of Staten Island. That could have been a dangerous situation for them, especially, luckily, yesterday, not a lot of people were driving.
Where was this cop wrangling the ponies yesterday when that cow got loose like a few weeks back?
Yeah.
You know, and they were chasing it down like by, you know, wailing a siren and honking horns,
right,
and
right,
a big SUV behind.
Perhaps
them.
The NYPD needs a cowboy division. It seems like we've had a lot of these things happen lately, right?
Very good.
And if you've been searching far and wide for the perfect gift for that ranch dressing fan in your life, you are now in luck. Hidden Valley is offering ranch dressing fans the chance to take their favorite condiment to the next level with a fountain. The company announced the creation of the Ranch Out, a ranch dressing dispensing fountain in the style of chocolate and cheese fountains, the kind you might see at a wedding. The fountain, which costs around $100, comes with a year's supply of ranch, 12 bottles of Hidden Valley Ranch in the 32-ounce size. The company told Today.com that they created this product after requests from people throwing milestone birthday parties and even brides-to-be for ranch fountains, which, of course, would be featured alongside chopped vegetables and other finger foods.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it yesterday.
Yes.
That's a fail.
It's a, for you, that's a fail?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just weird looking, not necessary,
yeah,
and over the top.
See, I know more.
I ate Hidden Valley Ranch yesterday, dipping vegetables in it. There's no need for a fountain.
No need for a fountain. See, I know somebody who actually would have had this at his wedding if it was there when he got married a couple of years ago.
Give me initials. Give me his initials.
Nobody you know. Don't you worry about it. His identity will be kept safe. But yes, there are people who would actually buy this, I believe.
Okay. Here's the thing with Hidden Valley saying they created the product after requests from people throwing milestone birthday parties.
Right?
No. No, they did not.
You just had a milestone birthday.
I just had a birthday. Yeah. Hidden Valley Ranch dressing was not on the list of things I would like to see at my milestone birthday.
Wow. Okay. You know,
alcohol? Yes. We had a brick oven pizza guy come.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Lots of friends. Yep. Okay. Hidden Valley Ranch dressing fountain? No, I'm sorry. They made that up. They made it up. Well, despite your friend who would like it.
Yes.
Hidden Valley made this up.
Again, it's a niche audience, Gordon.
Yeah, that'd be one word to describe it. Thanks, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
If you can't say no to Girl Scout cookies, maybe knowing their calorie counts will help you. CNN ranked them. Most calories at 75 per cookie are the Toffee-tastic, the Thanks-a-Lot, and lemonades. Right up there at 70 calories per cookie are the Samoas. What's it take to burn off a serving of cookies? It takes about a half hour of exercise to burn off 4 Thin Mints, 16 minutes of push-ups or sit-ups to burn 2 Samoas, and 20 minutes of jumping rope to burn off 2 s'mores. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Word in the day before it's supposed to go into effect, President Trump's revised travel ban will be scrutinized in federal courtrooms across the country today. In Maryland, a U.S. judge will hear arguments from the ACLU and others who want to stop the new directive, which would affect travelers from 6 Muslim-majority nations. Hawaii's lawsuit is heading to federal court in Honolulu, while Washington State, which successfully sued to block the original ban, wants its own hearing before a federal judge in Seattle. 5 other states have joined Washington's challenge. An analysis from the Congressional Budget Office on the House GOP bill to repeal Obamacare has rattled moderate Republicans in the House, who are uneasy about the prospects of voting for a proposal that increasingly appears dead on arrival in the Senate. Republican Congressman Leonard Lance, a moderate from New Jersey, told CNN he believes the House bill will fail in the Senate, so he won't support it. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is still confident.
The first step is in the House, and we're hopeful and optimistic they're going to send us over to something. It'll be open for amendment. We're going to do our thing and pass it.
Points of contention are the potential loss of insurance coverage, changes to Medicaid, premium prices, and the bill's impact on costs paid by older, low-income, and rural Americans. 9 upper-level naval officers, including an admiral, have been charged in a federal indictment with offenses related to trading classified defense information to a foreign contractor in exchange for expensive dinners and prostitutes. The Justice Department says the officers accepted cigars, dinners, hotel rooms, and prostitutes from a Singapore-based defense contractor. It's the latest in a long-running corruption investigation in which a total of 25 people, many of them military personnel, now face charges or have pleaded guilty. We just can't get enough Twinkies. Hostess Brands reports increased quarterly sales and profit as it brought Twinkies and other treats to more stores. The nearly century-old company came out of bankruptcy in 2013. Hostess has since reformulated recipes to make Twinkies last twice as long on store shelves and has introduced new varieties like deep-fried Twinkies and brownies.
Not just for breakfast anymore. Is there also like an increase in milk sales when we see things like Twinkies?
No, that's too
sales.
Good for you. Milk's too good for you.
It's got enough sugar in it. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. School superintendent had some fun with his students after making a video in lieu of your average snow day announcement. Aaron Polanski, superintendent of Old Colony Regional Vocational Technical High School in Rochester, Mass., canceled classes in wake of yesterday's nor'easter and did it on YouTube. ABC News says on Monday he decided to announce the school cancellation by singing on camera with a few students.
I guess that we should probably cancel school, yeah.
The video has received nearly 50,000 views at this point. The song described the snow situation in Massachusetts, even a reference to the cosmetology students who were forced to miss their $2,000 trip to the International Beauty Show in New York City. A 17-year-old student paid the superintendent the ultimate compliment about the video, saying, "Mr. Polanski is the man." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.